A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Harden not your hearts.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the desert, when your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person, one might even have courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Lord, you are truly Savior of the world. Give me living water that I may never thirst again.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, Could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, In 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Beloved, by this time in the Lenten journey, the enthusiasm that was so palpable on Ash Wednesday at the beginning of the Lenten season is beginning to wear out as the season of Lent wears on. So I believe we should all be able to identify very much so with Jesus today, as he's at the heat of the day, the noon hour, we're told, in Samaria, and he's seated at a well. He's tired, he's thirsty, he's hungry. And along comes the woman, Samaritan. We're all familiar with this dynamic of the Samaritans encountering the Jews at a time in which there was no love lost between Samaritans and Jews. Whenever Jesus desires something of us, whenever God desires something of us, he usually takes the initiative and he asks us of something. He asked this woman, Give me something to drink. Was she startled by this? First of all, that he's a man asking her who is a woman. And then, of course, he's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. She knows full well the dynamics, and she knows full well how things end up in these situations. So she presents his question with a question. And Jesus goes on to pique her curiosity, her interest, so to say, by telling her about the type of water he has to give, and that if she knew who it was that she was speaking to, she would be asking him for something to drink. And of course, she wants this water. But the well that Jesus is positioned himself by has a great significance in terms of the biblical revelation of God's plan of salvation. The water well represents life. Water is the universal solvent. Every living creature needs water to live. But it was also significant because it was at water wells that men usually would propose to women for marriage. This gives us insight as to why Jesus seemingly is digressing in the conversation, asking her to go and get your husband. And she's like, I don't have a husband. He said, You're right, you don't have a husband. In fact, you've been married 5 times previously, and the man that you're with now is not your husband. You have told the truth. Now, what is significant about this? Remember, the Samaritans were those Israelites. Remember, the kingdom was divided, north and south, 10 tribes in the north, 2 in the south. In the 10 tribes in the north, you know what happened over time? They experience invasion after invasion after invasion of five foreign countries of peoples. And when that happened, they began to mingle and mix with them, to have relations with them, to take on the worship of their false gods. Hence Jesus' words to her. Yes, I'm fully aware that you are not married. He's now placed his hand, if you will, or let us say it this way, he's now speaking a word to her heart that has been trampled upon, that has been broken and disappointed time and time again as a result of being yoked to bridegrooms who have proven to be zeros at best. And when Jesus is saying to her what he's saying to her, if you knew who it was that is speaking to you, and if you knew the gift of God, then you would be asking him for something to drink. In essence, Jesus is presenting himself not only to this woman of Samaria, he is presenting himself to all Samaritans, all of the Jews who have been scattered, who have yoked themselves to false gods and spouses that have proven to come up empty time and time again when it came to the satisfaction of their heart's desire, a relationship with the one true God. Jesus is presenting himself today to her and to us as the bridegroom. I am extending to you the proposal for marriage. Come back to me, who am your husband, the one that you have departed from for far too long. Now, did this catch her attention? Was she not experiencing this living water, this gift of God that Jesus alone could communicate and is wanting to give out? Indeed, she did. What is the detail that the gospel presents us with that confirms that this indeed has happened? Number one, at that very moment, the disciples return. Now, she has departed. She has gone back after changing the subject, trying to talk about right worship and all that, because that's what we do. When somebody begins to speak to an area of our hearts that we are very, very vulnerable in, where we're seemingly a little bit ashamed, she changed the topic about worship and all that. And there were real questions, intelligent questions and concerns. Jesus was impressed with this, but he understood her real need, and so he drove the issue back where he wanted it to be, for her as well as for himself. So by the time this is all said and done, the disciples come back discovering Jesus there. The woman has left her bucket at the well. She's gone back. Now, do you realize what this must have been like for those people of that community? To see this woman coming back, and how was she going back? How did she go back to them? She makes me think of the young person that was helping me with the Stations of the Cross this past Friday in our school. We did the Stations of the Cross for the children at the school at 8:30 in the morning. And the little young man who was working with me, this is his first time. He was, Father, can you tell me what I have to do? He was very concerned. He wanted to make sure he did everything right. And so as we were going, I gave him instructions. And so while we were at certain stations, he's asking me. So I'm trying to keep my mind focused on the press. And he's, Father, where are we going? How are we doing? So we went through it together. We got through it together. It took a great deal for me to multitask, as you know, we men. So, but there I was. I was with him. And the Lord, more importantly, was guiding the whole situation. So by the time everything was said and done, we came back from whence we began and did the concluding prayers, and we go back into the sacristy. This young child said to me, he says, Father, I feel so good. I feel so much lighter. I feel better. I said, yes, that is how it is. That's the joy that we experience when we forget about ourselves and begin to focus on Jesus and carry a cross that's not ours so much, but it's his. And he was beaming. And that's how I would like to believe this woman was when she went back into Samaria. These women, these people saw this woman who they all knew. They knew her. Her past was checkered. And she went back there with a bounce in her step, singing and talking. I gotta tell you, this man told me everything. Just by the way in which she had this enthusiasm, this excitement, and that they didn't see the bucket that she left with in her hands, that caught their attention to the point that all of them came. Many of them, they were told, believed because of the manner in which she testified. But after they encountered Jesus for themselves and heard his word, we are told, they came to believe that he indeed is the Savior of the world. Beloved, God, Jesus, wants this for all of us. He wants all of us to partake of his word, to feast on his person in such a way that when we go out from this place, it's recognizable that we have encountered the one who is the source of living water. This is the invitation today. What will be required of us is the same thing that was required of this woman. We must be willing to leave our buckets at the foot of the altar. Leave them there. Leave the cracked pots behind and receive the vessel of God's grace, which has been communicated to us when God poured out love into our hearts when we were baptized. That well, that baptismal font, is the source of the grace that Jesus speaks of to this woman. And this is a well that never runs dry. Every now and then, it needs to be stirred up again. And maybe that's where we're at. Some of us need to be stirred up. Well, then let it be. When we come to receive Jesus today, in just a couple of moments, say to the Lord in your heart and in the way you need to say it, Lord, fill my cup up. Fill me up, Lord. I'm on empty. I'm thirsty. Quench my thirst. And he will say to you, as he says to me, on every day, but especially on the day that commemorates the fulfillment of the will of the Father, he will say, come, come and eat, come and drink, for this is my burden, which is light. This is my yoke, which is easy. Take it upon you and learn from me, who am gentle and humble of heart. God love you.